All right, what's up, everybody? This is your host, SB Sanchez. Welcome back for yet another episode and another chance to get mentally entangled with somebody new. I did want to give everybody a heads up. Today's topic is going to be a tough one. Grief is one of the hardest emotions to understand and one of the hardest things to process, but unfortunately, it is also something that we all experience at some point in our life. Our guest today is going to be somebody who can speak on this firsthand. She will take us through her personal journey with grief and how she's managed to survive the grieving process and how she continues to deal with the losses she experienced at such a young age. So, Lindsay, say hi to the people.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. I'm so excited because I feel like you are just perfect for this. So, start off by telling us your story. I know this is obviously a little bit hard to talk about, and we were talking about how you lost your dad at a pretty young age. So take your time, but go ahead and tell us your story, whatever you feel comfortable with.
Great. Thank you for allowing me to share my story. So this all started back in 2019, February of 2019. So my dad was killed in a drunk driving accident. So he passed away on the scene. It was all really fast. We obviously didn't know the last time we'd say goodbye was literally the last time we'd say goodbye.
Yeah.
So this happened in Clanton, like I said, in February of 2019, and it was actually at a local bar in Clanton that has had many lawsuits against them and was actually still open. So that didn't make it any easier knowing like there's been previous incidents there and they
weren't handled about it.
Right.
Yeah.
So he was actually hit by a car and died of blunt force trauma to the head. So like I said, he did die instantly. And it was really, I mean, obviously, but it was just such a traumatic thing. I actually still remember my mom. She was actually out of town. She came home at like 3 a.m. beating on our front door. And I was like, okay, someone's downstairs, like, beating on our front door. Who is this?
Right.
And I actually went and opened the door. It was me that saw my mom's face firsthand. And I was like, okay, something is, like, wrong. And then she goes, like, screaming, like, go find your sister and brother. Like, y'all need to get down here now. So I'm automatically thinking, okay, like, did my grandmother fall? Does she, is she back in the hospital? Something, my mind did not go to my dad being killed.
Of course. Of course.
And I do want to preference before this, I never really experienced much grief.
So this was kind of like your first full-blown time experiencing grief.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I lost my grandmother, I was three. I lost my grandfather, I was like 11. So it's like I'm at this adult age now where I can fully understand like my emotions and like understand how they like play a role in my life. So she came in and made us sit down on the couch. Like I said, this was at like 3-4 in the morning, so we were all like
groggy, half asleep,
literally. And she pretty much tells us the story, doesn't go into full detail because she didn't really know anything yet.
So it happened that night.
It was like at 12 a.m. So yeah, they actually marked him on February 16th as deceased, but it was February 17th. So she got into telling us, and I remember, I actually still remember the physical feeling I had. My body immediately like disassociated. Like I just felt nothing. I felt a pit in my stomach. And my mom was obviously trying to comfort three children at once. So like,
while also grieving.
Right.
Because she had also just found out
that her husband died. Yeah. Right. So like, it was a whole, it was an experience I would never wish on my worst enemy ever. And on top of that, right after my dad passed, my sister got diagnosed with cancer. So it was within the year. So we were still grieving his death, obviously, and then now grieving Lana's past life.
Like you guys had no time to breathe in between.
It was like dad died on February 17th. Lana was diagnosed February 7th of that next year. So it had been almost a full year, not a full year. He found out she had cancer. She was like sent to the hospital immediately. So we were just juggling like 10 different situations at once. And then a few months later, actually, my uncle got sick. My great uncle got sick with cancer. So
yeah,
there were so many different situations that grief came up in. Still, it comes up. But so going back to the situation with my dad, though, so the guy that did kill him only went to jail for like 24 hours.
Mm.
So not only were we grieving his situation, we're also like, okay, how is he not going to get justice? Yes, like all these emotions are just flooding in, and there's really nothing we can do about it because there was no like solid evidence.
Yeah.
Just he said, she said, all of this, like, it was a whole fiasco actually with Clanton's police department.
Yeah. And I want to, like, I want to take some time and break that down because I think people have this misunderstanding that when grief happens, it's like this one thing that happens at one time, mm-hmm. and then we're just supposed to eventually get over it.
Mm-hmm.
What people don't understand is, like you said, it's like, yes, your dad passed away that night, but there was also 10 million revolving items
mm-hmm.
where you didn't have the chance to just wake up the next day and just deal with that.
Right.
You
life had to didn't stop.
Exactly. You had to deal with everything that came afterwards. And you even said it was like a year after.
Mm-hmm.
Grieving for a year is nothing. A year will pass by so quick and you still haven't had a chance to really catch up and fully accept, like, this person will never be here again.
Absolutely. Like, I still feel like, in a sense, I still haven't accepted it.
Yeah.
I'm through, like, the denial phase and, like, but the acceptance phase I'm still sitting on and probably have been sitting on for a very long time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm really sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
And, again, you know, this is tough to talk about. And it's going to be tough to listen to some of the viewers. But it is important.
Absolutely. And it's very important.
Yeah. And I'm so proud of you for even just saying yes to this and then putting yourself in a position that obviously is going to be tough.
Yeah.
So before we break down some of like the heavier stuff from your story, I did want to take a pause.
Mm-hmm.
I do ask everybody the same question when they come on, and that is what mental health means to them. So now you are a counselor, so careful with us, okay? Don't get too fancy on us, but give a little bit of a rundown of what mental health means to you.
Okay. So mental health means understanding and like managing your emotional well-being, your psychological well-being, and as well as your social well-being. They kind of all play a part in your mental health. So having good or even bad mental health can influence how we think, feel, act, and behave like in our normal everyday life. It can also, I feel like, depict kind of how we manage our own stress, interact with our social peers,
mm-hmm.
Interact with people at work, interact with people at the grocery store. I feel like it is a very crucial thing to make sure you're taking care of your mental health. I like to tell people, you take care of your physical health, so why are we not taking care of our mental health?
Exactly.
Both equally important.
Yeah. And kind of like even your definition. I mean, in other words, it affects everything.
It does, right.
Like you can't – I always ask people when people try to challenge that. I'm like, okay. Let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
Name one thing that you did today that didn't require your brain. And they're like, oh, what about walking? I'm like, false.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't realize you were thinking about it, but your brain was working.
Mm-hmm.
It was saying left, right for you,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's something that I feel like people don't realize as much until they have to sit back and think about it and be like, oh, shoot, you're right.
Right.
There's nothing that I do that doesn't use my mind.
Right.
So it not being healthy is obviously going to start to leak into other areas of your life as well.
Absolutely. I also feel like even like pre-counselor me, I had no idea how much like mental health can be affected by like little things in your life. Not mm-hmm. just the big things. It's all the things.
Yeah. It can be as simple as like my ability to, like you said, you brought up groceries.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I have had a really bad day and haven't done anything to stop and process everything that's happened that day, I might find myself cussing out a cashier.
Absolutely. Right.
And
right.
That's not me.
Right.
Nor am I proud of it. But because I didn't handle mm-hmm. right my mental stuff when it happened or even after it happened, it starts leaking over.
And then can affect other people.
Yeah. 100%. So thank you for that. That's pitch perfect definition. So thank you. I did want to ask you, now that we're kind of on the topic of therapy and counseling, are you in therapy? Have you ever done therapy, been to therapy? What are your thoughts on that?
Yes. So actually, I started therapy in 2019, actually probably about 5 months after my dad passed. Took me a while to find a therapist that works best for me. And that is okay. Like, I feel like people jump into the mindset, oh, my first therapist is going to be a perfect fit for me.
Exactly.
No.
It's like shopping for clothes.
It is.
You're going to try on 10 different shirts before you find one that you like.
Right. And that fits good and feels good on your body. And like, I probably went through about 4 or 5 shirts before I found one that fits perfect on my body.
But you didn't stop shopping.
Correct. My mom, I think, was very worried about me. Mm-hmm. Me and my dad were the closest. I feel like our personalities were to a T. Like, if anyone loved him, but if anyone was going to be arguing, it was me and my dad because of the same. We, like, would disagree, but then literally agree. So I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
You guys were too similar.
Absolutely. So I think my mom was, like, really worried about me. So that was something she kept pushing for. I don't think if she would have continued pushing for it, I alone would have kept looking. Mm-hmm. But she was very adamant on, like, finding mental help for me and, like, ensuring I was, like, with somebody who I could, like, talk to and, like,
yeah.
Because it was also, like, such a pivotal age. Like, I was 19. I had just moved to Mississippi to go to school at Mississippi State.
Oh, yeah.
So I wasn't even at home. I happened to just be home that weekend when that happened. I wasn't even, like, in my own home environment. So she was, like, you've got to find somewhere. Like, she would actually drive from Alabama to Mississippi to take me to all these appointments because I was so, like, such a ball of anxiety every time.
Yeah. Shout out to Mama Bear. Because every parent has the education that they need. And this is not a hit against any parent out there who has a hard time when something happens. Like, this is really hard.
It is, right.
And there's not really, like, parents don't get, like, a manual on, like, hey, if your child experiences a death, follow steps 1 through 10. That doesn't exist.
Right.
Right. And so even they feel lost. But it goes to show, like, how educated your mom was and the extents that she went to make sure that she was receiving information that she needed to know that this was something that you needed and to know where to go to get it too, because that's a whole nother thing.
Right. Especially in like the place of Mississippi State, so Starkville, there was not a lot of options whatsoever. Yeah. So I do go to a counselor.
Okay.
Probably need to go more, I'm not going to lie. But with grad school, work, internship, life does get busy. Yeah. But yes, I do see a counselor. She's amazing. She's actually, she is a part of the reason I wanted to do what I do. Mm-hmm. Like I said, the counselors before her didn't really make much of an impact on me. I'm sure they're amazing for other people.
Right.
Absolutely. But she made and still makes such an impact on me.
Yeah.
So, yes, I'm a counseling advocate. Please go.
Yeah. And, you know, like you said, it does take time to find the right therapist. I myself went through 4. Mm-hmm. And now I told my therapist, I was like, if you go somewhere, I'm going to.
Right.
Like, you're not going anywhere.
I will follow you.
Yeah. And I have.
As you should.
She moved from she was like working under an agency and then moved to private practice.
Yeah.
Because her kids are getting older and it just makes more sense for her.
Right.
And she's like, yeah, so I'm making this transition. I was like, no.
We are doing this together.
We are making this transition. I was like, give me the address and the time and I'll be there.
Right.
But like, because it is. I mean, and the thing is now, thankfully, there's more mental health resources.
Yes.
But not every mental health resource is for everybody.
Oh, yeah.
And there's specific ones. There's actual, like, grief counselors. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go ahead and say Psychology Today is a beautiful thing. PsychologyToday.com. If you don't know where to start, if you're looking for a therapist, you can go in there and put in keywords.
Yeah.
Like, if you are looking specifically for a grief counselor, you can put in grief counselor.
Start there.
And a zip code. Yeah. And it'll pull up the counselors in your area that have that credential, and you can go from there. It usually has addresses. It's got phone numbers. So,
like, there's a price. So, if they're, like, if they can do sliding scales, things like that.
The insurances that they take.
Can be an issue as well.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. So, there's always an option out there. The problem is that sometimes it's really difficult to find.
Yeah,
absolutely. So I'm really glad that your mom was able to help you through that process and that you've continued that for yourself as well.
Yeah.
Because I can imagine that that's super important for you, especially going into the field that you're going into now.
Right. Like, as the quote stands, counselors need counselors too.
Oh, yeah. I need mine once a week specifically. Right. But since we're on the topic, so explain to people kind of what you're in school for, because I know, but they don't know, and the influence that obviously your experience has had on kind of what you want to be when you grow up.
Yeah. So when I grow up, so I am studying clinical mental health counseling at the University of Montevallo right now. Fingers crossed, I will be done in December. So I'm really excited about that. Mm-hmm. But it's funny that you were talking about, like, kind of specifically what type of counselor, like a grief counselor.
Okay.
I wanted to start out as a grief counselor.
Mm-hmm.
But the more I've explored avenues and really done some, like, self-reflecting,
yeah,
that is probably not the best little subject area to go in right now. Okay. I still feel like I'm dealing with a lot of grief, obviously. And it doesn't go away. You just kind of learn to, like, live with it and, like, kind of hinder parts of your life that are necessary to deal with that grief.
Yeah.
But I am not built at the moment to be a grief counselor. But I have leaned towards my teenagers more.
Okay.
I love working with my teenagers. And I feel like most counselors are like, I want the babies. I want the adults. I'm like, I want the teenagers.
No, I'm a big fan of teenagers,
too. They're amazing. And, like, they also need that ear to be heard. And, like, I feel like it's hard for them to want to talk to their parents. And,
oh,
like,
for sure.
Because I can relate to that.
No teenager wants to talk to their mom or dad about anything.
Right. Right. So having, like, I feel like a professional that can, like, listen out for them. They're just my favorite.
Yeah.
I get so giddy when I'm like, I see a teenager on my schedule. I'm like, okay, we'll have a good day.
Yeah. I love that. And that's why I was saying I feel like you're so perfect for this topic, because, yes, you've done the grieving and you're still doing the grieving,
mm-hmm.
and you've been through the experience and it's still tough to this day, but you've found a way to make it almost, like, purposeful to you.
Right.
And that's something people struggle with a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They will experience a loss and they'll get stuck
right
in that in between.
Right.
How do I transition from this is something that has happened to me and in my life to still living afterwards?
Right.
Living, like, a fulfilled life to some extent, and still finding happiness in the moments that follow.
Right.
People get really stuck with that.
And it's, like, easy to.
Mm-hmm.
It really is easy to. But I think what keeps me going is one thing that was very important to my dad was getting a great education and getting a good job.
Yeah.
So thankfully, I've been able to go to school debt-free from my dad. And that's something that I think is kind of keeping me motivated.
Yeah.
As I go through school, because that was just something that was really, which is very important to me. Don't get me wrong. But that was something that he always would, like, say, if I could get y'all through school with no debt, that's my main goal in life.
Yeah.
And thankfully, like, that is looking like what the end result will be.
So right. Yeah.
Very grateful about that. But I just feel like if I could help, like, one person, then I'm helping, like, if I could help that one person and be their shoulder, it's one less person who has to, like, deal with that grief and, like, anxiety or depression alone.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of want to let them know, like, yes, this is a difficult time, but you can share this with other people and, like, make something out of it. It doesn't have to always be lightning and thunder. We can make sunshine out of this.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And I did want to ask you, going back to kind of, like, what your grieving process looked like. I know you mentioned that you didn't really have, I would say, like, all the resources in the world. So what's something that you wish somebody would have told you during your grieving process that maybe you didn't get a chance to know back then?
Yeah. So I think that would be that grief is not linear.
Mm-hmm.
That it can look different one day and look different the next hour. Like, it's always changing. Like, for example, my dad's symbol, we like to, so when we had to sell his business, so he owned his own business, so we had to sell all that stuff, sadly, because it was in like going through the court and stuff, since it was he was killed.
Yeah.
So the day we sold his shop, actually, there was this butterfly on the side of his building. And my dad was 6'4", like, 300-pound man. So, like, a huge, like, grizzly. He had a huge beard. Mm-hmm. Huge guy. Mm-hmm. But every time we'd go back to that shop, there would be the same butterfly on the side of his building.
Okay.
And so the day we sold it, that butterfly was there. So now I take, like, butterflies as a representation of, like, my dad coming to, like little god winks.
Okay.
So today I actually saw a butterfly on the way here.
Yeah.
And it just makes me emotional to think about, like, he is here during all of this. He might not physically be here, but I do appreciate him sending signals down to, like, me and my family and stuff. But yeah, like, I feel like it's just not linear. You're not gonna know tomorrow if you're gonna wake up and be sad, or you're not gonna know if you're gonna wake up and be happy, which that's really with any situation, let's be real. But with grief, it's so, it can just change in an instance.
Yeah,
like I said, like the butterfly thing, I was fine, saw the butterfly, made me teary-eyed, but that's kind of something I've worked through. Like, I like to think that as a positive rather than negative.
Yeah.
So I think that would be my biggest takeaway, is like, if you're having a bad day one day, a good day the next day, and then another bad day, you're not, your progress, you still have progress.
Yeah.
Let's not look at it as like you're failing.
Yeah.
So I think that would be my biggest thing that I wish someone would have like told me.
Yeah. You don't have to be, the other thing too is like, there's never going to exist a day that you wake up and you're just not grieving.
Right.
That's not going to happen.
It's continuous. Yeah.
So if you wake up one day and your grief is a little bit more on the surface than you would like it to be, that's okay.
Right.
That's okay.
And that's normal.
Mm-hmm. Completely.
Yeah.
You mentioned a little bit ago that you feel like you haven't reached the acceptance stage.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to kind of bring that and break it down, because mm-hmm. not everybody's a counselor.
Right.
So there are, usually people go off of like the 5 stages of grief. Mm-hmm. Yep. And so we're going to be talking about denial, anger, there's going to be bargaining, depression, and acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
And going back to it not being linear, this is kind of why I wanted to bring it together, tie it together.
Mm-hmm.
Those 5 stages are there, and someone who is grieving will experience them.
Mm-hmm.
But just because they go through denial, they go through anger, all the way until they reach that depression stage, it doesn't mean that they might not regress
Correct.
Back into an anger.
Correct.
Or that those stages might not get mixed up. Maybe they feel their depression before they feel the anger, mm-hmm. or maybe they feel them simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important for people to know, because there's a lot of judgment
Absolutely.
In society as far as to like how quick you're supposed to get over something.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like get right? over him. He's right. in a better place.
It's been a year.
Right.
Right. It's been 2 years.
Like that is not helpful.
Yeah.
Let's be mindful.
Yeah.
Let's be mindful.
Exactly. And understanding that everybody's grieving process is going to look different,
mm-hmm.
you know,
everyone's,
some of the things that you're talking about now I can relate to,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I've been through those stages. But then some of the things that you've brought up, I'm like, I don't know that I've experienced that in my grieving process, but that doesn't mean that you're doing it right and I'm doing it wrong.
Right.
It just means that we are two different people.
Right.
We process emotions very differently, and I wish that was more spoken
mm-hmm.
on today.
It's right. like,
and bringing back little kiddos and teenagers, there will be, I've heard of instances where it's like there was a loss in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And then the parent is worried because the kid isn't crying every day.
Mm-hmm.
Which I understand. That,
right.
Because that's all that they've known is like grief and crying.
Mm-hmm.
Crying and grief. Same thing to some people, right? They don't necessarily have more education to teach them. Like, no, that doesn't necessarily symbolize that somebody is grieving.
Right.
And, you know, they'll talk about like they're freaking out because their kid just never cried after the situation and hasn't cried weeks after. I'm like, okay, well, just because you're crying and that's how you were choosing to grieve doesn't mean that that's how your kiddo's going to do it too.
Right.
And so just like talking about how everybody's journey can look differently. There's going to be similarities for sure, similar things that one goes through, like anger and depression, but it's not necessarily going to be at the same time, even right. within family members.
I was about to say, even within siblings, like my brother and my sister and I all grieve differently.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we're definitely not in the same stages of grief
right.
when like others were. So mm-hmm. yeah, that's, you're completely right.
Yeah. And especially within a family unit, it's like learning to accept that about each other,
mm-hmm.
that we're all going to be in different stages of grief, but we're all still going to be able to support each other as we go through this experience together.
Right.
Even if it's not at the same time or at the same pace, having that support system
right
can be huge. So who would you say is your support system other than your therapist?
Yeah, she's great. definitely my mother, my brother, my sister, my fiance, and then my brother's wife, so my sister-in-law. Definitely, we don't really have much extended family,
mm-hmm.
so definitely we're a very close-knit family. I tell them my successes, I tell them my losses. Like, they're just always there for me no matter what the day looks like.
Mm-hmm.
I just know I could always count on them.
That's so important.
For sure.
That is so important.
Any of them.
Yeah.
Any of them. Even my brother, and he'd be the one you're like, he doesn't answer the phone 5 times a week. But
right.
he would drop anything for me and my sister to, like, make sure we had what we needed, or even my mom,
mm-hmm.
have what we needed. And, like, I don't know. My family's great.
Yeah. I wanted to bring up support systems because people within the support system of somebody who has experienced a really big loss,
mm-hmm.
it can be difficult to know, okay, what's the right thing to say? What's the wrong thing to say? What do I need to not say? Okay. And you already hinted at, like, obviously something to not say is, like, you need to be doing this or this or this.
Right.
Or you need to get over it. That's obviously something that we want to be a little bit more mindful about, making sure we're not using that type of verbiage when we're approaching somebody we're trying to support.
Right. Like, I feel like that's the biggest thing, is just be very mindful of what mm-hmm. comes out of your mouth, because some things that you think are helpful are definitely not helpful and can be, like, very dismissive towards, like, their feelings or, like, their experience. So I think mindfulness plays, like,
a huge
the major
part.
Yeah,
for
right
sure
there.
What's something else off the top of your head that you feel like people should avoid saying to somebody who is in the grieving process?
So, like, everything happens for a reason.
Mm.
I feel like that, like I said, is very dismissive, and it can feel very, like, invalidating for that individual,
yeah.
or, like, that family member that's experiencing that. At least they lived a long life.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but that does not help anything.
Right, of course.
You need to move on. Grieving process obviously takes time. No one's just going to move on the next day, the next year, the
mm-hmm.
next 10 years. I feel like, and that's the thing, is, like, most people are trying to be helpful and, like, supportive, but they're not being helpful or supportive
mm-hmm.
in any way. But yeah, and, like, it's time to stop crying, like, soak up your tears. Like, no, babe, if I want to cry, I'm going to cry.
Absolutely.
And you should cry.
Like, absolutely.
Let's feel these emotions. Let's not suppress them.
Yeah. I think something that I've heard, and you can let me know if this you feel like would be helpful for somebody, but I've heard that sometimes the best thing to do when you're trying to support somebody who's grieving is not say anything at all. Just listen.
Yes.
Listen.
Be present.
And not just listen to what they're telling you. Like, if you're grieving and you're like, listen, SB, like, I'm super sad. I don't always have to feel like I have to do something
no.
about that, right?
Right.
Or if maybe you're not comfortable telling me that you're sad, but I'm observing that clearly you are sad, I don't have to automatically go into, like, solution.
Right.
Right.
Because there's really no solution.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm going to tell you the cure for grief.
Go for it. What's the secret?
It is to grieve. Simply to grieve.
Yeah.
So, like, in other words, allow yourself to be open about your grief and, like, don't avoid to suppress your emotions or push it away, because it's going to eventually resurface
mm-hmm.
no matter how hard you push it under things. So, yeah, that is literally the cure. Grieve. Walk through it and just experience it, hopefully with the support system.
Yeah.
Because that, from my personal experience, does make it easier. I truly feel for those who really have no other support system. That's why I think a counselor could be a great support system if you don't have any.
Support groups as well.
Support groups,
yeah.
Right. There are so many other avenues you can kind of venture down, but
yeah.
Just, I like to say, feel the feels, and that's literally what you have to do here, is just feel them, accept them, work through them. It's definitely not as easy as I'm just going through this, but, like, literally feel the feels.
Yeah, I think that's great for somebody who's experienced their very first loss.
Yeah.
To understand that, as you said, that's the quote-unquote cure.
Yeah.
Is to grieve.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to stop it. Don't try to pause it. don't hesitate to feel it. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to allow yourself to sit in that.
Yeah. And as hard as it may be, that's literally what you're going to have to do.
Did you ever find yourself, like, wanting to isolate?
Yes, especially when it first happened. Mm. I'm usually, like, a pretty, like, affectionate person, like, a physical affection. Like, I love hugs and stuff, but, like, yeah. I would not let anybody hug me, would not let anybody, like, touch me, like, to soothe me or anything. I just felt very, like I mentioned earlier, I felt very disassociated from my whole body. Like, I felt like my body was just there and my mind was just floating around the room. Like, mm-hmm. I had no idea what was going on, but I did.
Right.
But I was just so confused. I had so many emotions just running through my body. So, yeah, sometimes I definitely did self-isolate, but I knew that wasn't the best thing for me. So I really did. At the time, my best friend was always there for me. She was, yeah. like, making sure, like, I wasn't alone. We were going to do something every day. And, like, I think it's just keeping that support system, even if it is friends, family, a counselor, like, just keeping them as literally as close as you can during this time will be, like, I feel like crucial.
Yeah, it was for me. Not feeling like you have to go through that alone.
Right, because it is a very isolating emotion and experience, for sure.
And you're going to feel like nobody's going to be able to understand you, and, like, nobody's ever going to be able to say the right thing to make you feel better, and those things might be true.
Right.
But that does not mean that the solution then is to just kind of step away from life in general.
Right.
Because it's going to make it so much harder to do it on your own.
That's what I was about to get to. I was about to say that was, like, that will be the time where you're, like, I feel like struggling the most, in a sense, when you are isolating yourself.
Yeah. And it's tough. I mean, it's easier said than done.
Absolutely.
And there will be moments where, like, you need to be by yourself
mm-hmm.
to grieve the person you just lost.
In a healthy manner.
In a healthy manner. Yeah. I was going to say healthy boundaries with everything. Mm-hmm. There has to be a balance of, you know, the time that you're taking for yourself, but making sure that that time to yourself doesn't become your entire time.
Right.
Because that's just not good for anybody either, to go through something like that just completely by themselves.
Right, in general. Right.
So, speaking of kind of what is the hardest in a grieving process, obviously, as we've talked about, grieving is something that happens for a lifetime. So what's something, if you don't mind sharing, what's something that you still struggle with today?
I think, like, going through seasons of my life knowing he, like, won't be there. Mm-hmm. So, like, as you know, I just got engaged. I think that's also why I was telling you, you know, earlier, like, planning a wedding is not fun at all. Like,
oh, yeah. Lindsay just got engaged.
Yeah. I'm so a fiance.
She's in the wedding planning season.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot. But I feel like why I don't enjoy it as much as, like, most people would, or I guess you should.
Right.
Is because I know there's going to be some, like, difficult decisions and, like, things to think about regarding planning a wedding and, like, ways to honor my dad there and, like,
yeah.
stuff like that. Like, when my brother got married, it was such a hard day for me, and I was not even the one getting married.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, like, also grad school. Like, I'm about to finish grad school, and, like, he won't be there at, like, my graduation. Like, it's things, like, kind of realizing, like, he won't physically be present in he's situations. Not gonna,
he won't have the chance to see you grow up.
Right. Because he knew the Lindsay that was, like,
go ahead.
What are the words? He met, like, the very immature, like, in a sense, disrespectful version of me.
Yeah.
Like, I was not happy with, like, how I would treat him sometimes, and, like, I really do regret that, but also my mom tries to make me think, like, you were a teenager, like, you were going, your hormones right. were crazy, like, you're growing up, you're still learning, and while that helps, it still makes me feel bad, like, hey, maybe I could have been nicer to him that day. Maybe I didn't have to, like, blow up at him for asking a simple question.
And it's like, now you can sit here and there's a tendency to want to go back and nitpick.
Right. That's exactly what I do. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You mentioned big transitional moments, like mm-hmm. graduating. Another big one that I can think of is, like, holidays.
Oh, yeah.
I know that people, well, I don't even have to say people, I can say me.
Mm-hmm.
The very first time that I realized, like, I'm never going to experience another Christmas, another Thanksgiving with my person.
Right.
that can be really tough too. Do you have like a tip, any advice on how to get through those tougher days?
Yeah, so they definitely are tough, especially, well, not just like Christmas and stuff, but for my, I like to also think like of his birthday as like a holiday, and like not necessarily, which his death date we celebrate, not in like a way like, oh, like he's dead, let's celebrate, in the way like, right, we want to honor that day was a really,
right, yeah, he said
no, like we're not celebrating the death, please.
Right.
But that day was a very like changing day for all of us.
Of course.
So we do try to like honor that in a sense. But regarding like holidays like Christmas, we always try to, or we do, we always will go to like his gravesite. There's a tree on his gravesite that we'll like decorate for Christmas, and like we'll use his recipes to cook. Like he was such a foodie. So like his recipes were literally chef's kiss.
To die for.
Absolutely. He was such a good cook. I'm telling you. My brother and sister got it. I did not get it.
Oh,
but
boy,
that is okay, because hopefully John can make up for, right, that in that area. But we'll like do things like that, and like we always tend to conversate about him, especially on holidays, like if we're sitting at the table eating dinner together as a family, because usually for holidays like my brother and his wife will come over,
mm-hmm,
any like extended family that we do talk to will come over,
yeah,
and we always tend to like gravitate towards conversations about dad and like his jokes. He had like, he had such dad humor, like it, yeah, was literally crazy. But we just try to like keep him alive in a sense regarding like through our memories and like through things we did together, like through restaurants he took us to, and like literally our my memory is what I think keeps me afloat a lot of the time.
Yeah, I love that you mentioned talking about him.
Oh yeah,
that is something that for some reason people feel like it's wrong.
Oh right.
To talk about, think about, again, it's that idea that I have to just get rid of it,
mm-hmm,
like if it brings up these negative emotions that are tough to deal with, I need to just eliminate everything that, mm-hmm, brings those emotions,
mm-hmm,
and that is so far from factual. Like you need to be, you need to give yourself the space to talk about him,
right,
you know, and have those conversations, talk about him with your support group,
mm-hmm,
looking at photos too. That's another, oh, yeah, one. People are like, well, you know, I feel like I'm not supposed to, like, look at photos anymore. And I'm like, yeah, no.
Oh,
no,
we have, can, like, probably, like, 15 photos on, like, by our TV of just my dad. Like, so we kind of have, like, a little wall of just pictures of my, yeah, dad and, like, us.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
Just because he's not here anymore doesn't mean that you have to stop doing all the things that remind you of him, mm-hmm, or that you used to do together. In fact, it's usually helpful to keep, oh, yeah, those things, you know, alive.
Right. And like keep the good alive. Like, mm-hmm, while everybody has flaws, let's not bring those flaws up.
Yeah.
Let's like look at the good things that happen.
Yeah.
We don't have to bring up the situation about what happened. We don't have to bring up his own mental health struggles that he was going through.
Let's, right, of course.
Let's talk about the good times we had together.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. So if you had to sum up your just entire grieving process into one word, what, and this might be a tough one, so take your time, but what word do you feel like you would use?
So actually, you kind of said it earlier. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it would be transformative. Mm. So while that was honestly probably one of the hardest things I'll ever have to go through with the situation involved, I feel like if it was like more of a natural death or like we saw it coming,
right,
it would have been easier. But yeah, it was so sudden. So like, yes, that was probably one of the hardest like things I will feel like I'll ever have to go through.
Right.
But I feel like it has led me to a lot of like personal growth and to figure out like kind of what I want to do with my life.
Yeah.
Because at first I was actually going to be a fashion merchandiser. So completely end of like,
that explains all your online shopping carts.
Thank you. You get it. You get it.
I do.
So actually, when my dad passed and I went and started to go to counseling, that's when I kind of like had that transformative like mindset. I was like, okay, maybe I can do something like with all this hurt, mm-hmm, and grief that I'm experiencing,
mm-hmm,
which then led me to counseling, obviously. And I also think it helps me love more. Like, mm-hmm, I do not leave my house or leave any area without telling my people, like, I love them. I mean, even at work.
Yeah.
I see Malaya. I see Jen. I'm like, I love y'all. I love y'all. I'm leaving. Y'all need
right.
anything?
Right.
I just think it's really important, and it has showed me to, like, tell your people you love them, because there's a chance you might not be able to again. Like,
yeah.
Like I said, it was just happened that I was going home that weekend back to Alabama. Mm-hmm. But I don't remember the last conversation in person I had with my dad before that. And that also kind of eats me alive, because right. my siblings, they were in Alabama. So, like, they were like, yeah, we went to eat. Like, I remember, because me and Dylan and my dad, which let's say coming from my sister, we went to eat a week before. And I remember that was my last time.
Yeah.
And I don't have that last time memory. Like, yeah. I don't.
Things feel more distant for you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Like, I was already away, wasn't spending much time with him, obviously, because I'm in a whole different state. And then this happened, so I'm like, okay, well, yeah. I can remember, like, the big things, but I can't remember our last conversation.
Yeah, so in a way, do you feel like the experience that you've had with loss, it's almost made you, like, more grateful for, like, the little things in life?
100%. Hmm. 100%. And, like, I feel like it's also allowed me to, like, see my strengths in some way. Like, I'm very empathetic.
Yeah.
I care very deeply for people. I truly do. Like, not even people, just animals. I mean, I heard a dog crying the other day, and I was, like, on foot trying to go figure out what was going on.
Yeah.
It's just made me realize that you obviously are not, like, you don't have to have tomorrow. It can be taken away from you yeah. in any second.
Yeah.
So it's really important to, like, get your emotions and feelings out with how you feel about people today.
Yeah.
That's yeah. one thing. Like, I probably say I love you, wish I was joking, probably 15 times a day, 20 times a day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, they get it. But, like, I'm still going to
say
it.
But I'm, like, going to say, I'm going to tell you
again. Yeah, I'm going to say it anyways.
I'll
I'm
say leaving. It another 5 times.
Yeah, right.
yeah. Well, I do want to end on a positive note. Mm-hmm. If you feel comfortable doing so, what is your favorite memory of your dad?
Okay, so I actually have so many, and y'all are probably going to be like, what the hell was this man on? Okay, nothing. He was on nothing. So each year we would go on. So my mom is a real estate agent, so she would have, like, these work conventions.
Remind me to get her phone number later. What? Remind me to get her phone number later. Okay, perfect. I want a house so bad.
She would love to help you.
Okay.
So we were actually in, New Orleans when this happened. And that's funny, because mom came from New Orleans the night that happened. So that's interesting that connection just appeared. So my dad, like I said, was a foodie, huge man, like huge. He would tower above you. All my friends were scared of him, even though he was the sweetest, like such right. a teddy bear. Huge.
What was his favorite food?
Steak,
everything.
Shrimp. Any, like, meats. He loved a meat, like a smoked meat. Okay, so while my mom would go to, like, her work conventions, my dad mm-hmm. would take me and my siblings out to do stuff, like, in the city uh-huh. while she was working. So we were getting ready to leave, and my dad was using the bathroom.
Oh, okay, boy.
Right. So as he's using the bathroom, we're waiting out in the living room, like, ready to leave.
Right.
We start walking out. Here he comes. Okay. And this is TMI, but I'm just going to – it's just one of the funniest things, and I just cannot help but almost, like, cry thinking about it. So we start walking out, and I'm like, okay, it, like, smells really bad. Like, I understand people go poop. That is so normal. Right. But why does it smell like something, like, is dead in the toilet? Okay? As we're leaving our hotel room, the maid walks in.
Oh, no.
Housekeeping. She starts screaming out loud, so loud, where we hear it down by the elevators. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I hope she's okay. Like, is
right.
she hurt?
Right.
She's on the phone screaming, like, there's a shit in the toilet. And, like, the toilet got clogged, okay, in our hotel room. And, right. like,
he just left it there.
He said he couldn't do anything. He was like, there's no plunger. I didn't know what to do. So I was like, what do I do?
Right.
And, of course, she had to be walking in right after, and, like, there's literally a huge shit in the toilet. And, like, I know, I just feel so bad for that lady. Like, I hope she got paid so good. I really do, because if you're listening, I'm so sorry that that happened to you. I really am, because no one should ever have to face that.
Shout out to
I'm telling you.
Hotel maids.
Right. The New Orleans lady, we love you. Right. We're so sorry.
That is so funny, but.
That's just, that was, like, one of the first things that popped into my mind when you said that. I was like, you know what? It is TMI, but let's just share this.
Yeah.
He's probably, honestly, up in heaven, just so weak right now.
He's laughing right along with
he
us
is, because he it. Thought it was so funny. He was
because he had to be the one cleaning it up.
He was so I was like, Dad, he was like, I couldn't do anything,
right? I'm I like, mean, to be fair, he had a point. I don't think there's anything he could have.
There was
done.
No plunger. There was nothing you could have.
I bet that hotel invested in some plungers.
I bet
after
they
that.
Did each one for each room, baby.
Well, thank you, Lindsay, again, just for being so vulnerable with me and trusting me to hold this space for you while you shared your story. Grief is just so tough, and you are like the spitting image of someone who has found a way to find beauty, even in the midst of something that carries a lot of darkness. You have a beautiful soul, and I know that your dad is so proud of the woman that you have become. He won't be at your wedding, but I know that he's going to be right there smiling along with the rest of us. And to everybody listening, thank you for spending some time with me as we entangled ourselves in the mental world of grief and just everything that comes with it. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to share and subscribe and catch yet another episode next Friday. As always, our goal is to spread awareness on the importance of mental health as it relates to every person. No matter who you are or what you do, there's not a single person that goes unaffected by mental health. And don't forget, you are mentally entangled in every aspect of your life. See you next time.